The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. The ballsy voice you hear there, not mine, that of Jared Nielsen. Chairman of the board, he's playing hurt today. That happens. Justin is in today for Eric. Justin Toscano. Is your mic's hot? Is your camera? We didn't test the stuff. We just come right on the air. So your camera's good. Mm-hmm. This big news right off the top. So you interned here to start with. You've been doing a little bit of volunteer work, and then it turns into a little bit of paid position work here, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? And you got your big break yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Actually, you're supposed to say the big break was coming here, but you got another break. How's that?
It's good. I think everything's a big break, though.
What is the break?
So I'll be an associate reporter covering the Diamondbacks as an intern for MLB.com this coming season. So I'll just be there every day covering the team, which is what I'd like to do and what I aspire to do is kind of be
this
there.
This is not what you want to do? This is not what you aspire to do? This? Do you want to just take your headset off and go home?
I'd love to do this, but I aspire to be
better than
out
this?
Somewhere covering a sport every single day.
Does that mean if I offered you a position full-time, you would say no?
No, I would say yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to do that, but I just wanted to know what you had to say if I did offer you a position.
Dang.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were a basketball guy.
Well, I mean, football, basketball, baseball, wherever you can. I feel it's a bit tougher to get good jobs in the NBA when you're, you know, covering the NBA when you're younger. I covered the Suns for us, which was my only big break covering basketball.
Yeah.
But this opportunity came up, and when I saw the way to apply, I thought that I would just give it a shot.
So what happens if the Diamondbacks stink out loud and it's 162 days of going, or 81 days of going to the ballpark? What if you have a team that only wins 60 games, 70 games? How are you going to handle that?
I mean, it'd be a little tough to handle because the players would be a bit on edge. But
baseball players are a bit on edge anyways.
Yeah.
They're the most difficult to deal with, aren't they?
The way I look at it, I mean, we're doing this for fun. As you like to say, we're not roofing houses in the 110.
And there's nothing wrong with roofing houses. I don't want any of you guys roofing houses getting pissed off at me.
But it's fun regardless. It's baseball. And, I mean, obviously it's work, and it becomes tough if the team you cover isn't doing so hot that year. And, you know, I don't want to underscore that or anything when people, like you said, are already on edge. But I think, you know, it's still covering baseball. It's still a step in the right direction.
Okay, so MLB.com has hired you. Are they putting you in a – they giving you an expense account? They got a car to pick you up to make sure that you get there? Do you have a country club membership? Do you have all the things that are supposed to come with covering sports?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
So I'm just working under Mr. Steve Gilbert. Just trying to learn the trade from him.
Mr. Steve. That's good.
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Justin was one of my easily one of my best students a year and a half ago. And you could just tell that when there's a riser that's coming along that you grab onto them and mentor them, and then they take off and do something like what he's going to do with MLB. So that's cool. There's plenty to get to today on the show. It's one of those days where I've got some things that I wrote down as show ideas on Monday and Tuesday that I just have not been able to write into shows every day. Believe it or not, as unscripted as this seems, there is a little bit of notes, a little bit of I want to talk about this or that, just so Eric and I are on the same page. I actually kicked Eric out of here for today. I just said, go tell a story. Get out of here and go out and find something of interest to you. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what genre. I don't care. If it's the water skiing team at Arizona State up at Saguaro Lake, which he did tell that story at one point in time, tell it. Put it on the site. We're not going to do 9 candidates that the Cardinals have already talked to that's on 50 different websites, and everybody's trying to claim their first. Okay, yeah, Pat Shurmur is the lead, if I'm to believe the people within the NFL whose opinions I trust. Steve Wilks is probably 1A. Michael's hired offensive guys in the past. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and burn an hour and have Eric go write about Pat Shurmur for an hour. It's just not happening. So Justin's here. If the show gets screwed up today, if the bed gets crapped today, it's Justin's fault. It's not Eric's. And it's certainly not mine. All right, let's get you caught up with some things on my mind in the world of sports now. Brought to you by our good people at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, you need life insurance. When was the last time you checked into life insurance? Have you never done it? It's very simple. You log on to sagicornow.com. SagiCorpNow.com. Get your free quote and protect what matters most. That is your family. Things change in your life. You were that dude with the ball cap backwards, with no girlfriend in sight, loving sports, and now today you're watching me and you have two kids and that lady that's hanging alongside of you have no life insurance. What are you thinking? Go to SagiCorpNow. Protect what matters most. That's at SagiCorpNow. All right, the story of the day, I think, still continues to be that we do not have white smoke coming from the chimney of Tucson. I was working on this last night and talking with coaches and people that were at the convention. And here's what goes on this time of year. This is a time of year where you have agents that want you to float their client's name and get their client out there, even though their client has no chance. You have search firms that are being paid large amounts of money. Nice people, I'm sure. I do not get the whole idea of hiring a search firm. It's not like college football. You can't watch teams. You can't go research teams. You can't pick up the phone and call people. You cannot text people and find out what makes this guy tick. Now, if you don't want to get into it, I suppose paying $250,000, $300,000 out of a budget somewhere within an athletic department to go find the next coach is the way you go. To me, that's just nuts. It's just nuts. But U of A has a search firm that is in on this, and they're actually right here in the Valley. So some of the names that have come up over the last, I don't know, since Rich got blown out, to me, I don't see it. I don't understand it. And I've not even put some names on the air because they're just simply not true. The people's opinions who I respect. Last night I put on Twitter that yesterday in Chicago, Kevin Sumlin met with the Arizona Wildcat contingent or someone with the Wildcat contingent. I'm not going to tell you who or where or why. You got to trust 30 plus years of me doing this. And I believe that implicitly that they did meet. Of course, when this is all said and done, if it's not Kevin Sumlin, it's, no, that was a bunch of lies. It never happened. Okay. And they'll be parsing of, did you meet? Well, no, I never met. I wasn't lying. Well, you find out it was all the representatives of said person that met. So when you have coaching searches, you don't get too high. You don't get too low. You don't try to be first. You try to be right. This is all about getting page views and clicks for certain websites and certain people and to build up their following, and I just don't play that game. You know, I want people to see what we write because I believe in our product, but we're not going to sit here and do, here's the five latest clients from 3 hours ago to now, click here. So Mike Sanford's name came up last night. Mike Sanford, Western Kentucky, he's been there a year. People say, wow, okay, a guy with a losing record who's been there 1 year would have no shot at being the guy. Well, if you tend to look at the way that things are playing out at the U of A, do they have any money at all? Do they have any money at all to go find a coach? And a guy like Mike Sanford is 35 years of age. He's been at Stanford, where he was a recruiting coordinator. He's been at Notre Dame. He's been at Boise State. I'd say that's a pretty damn good track record, pretty damn good piece of resume material. He went 6-7, not good, at Western Kentucky for just a year. But is Western Kentucky a dream job? Is Western Kentucky a place you can go win and win big? The way that this is playing out, Dave Hickey is the new athletic director replacing Greg Byrne. Dave Hickey is trying to turn around a football program, a football athletic department that has always been mired in mediocrity outside that occasional year where they go to the Fiesta Bowl. It's still a basketball school, no matter how hard Greg Byrne tried to get it turned in a different direction, no matter how hard anybody tried to get it turned in a different direction. Kevin Sumlin, I've written this, I truly believe it. If you want to turn the thing around overnight and get national attention, national buzz, as you're trying to raise money to get your stadium redone, Kevin Sumlin, alongside with a quarterback like Khalil Tate, checks the boxes. But Kevin Sumlin's not going to be in Tucson, I don't believe, for 10, 15, 20 years, nor do I believe Mike Sanford would be. Mike Sanford is the total risk guy. He's going to get the program turned around and then he's going to leave. And maybe that's good enough. Maybe a couple of seasons of winning 8 or 9 games is good enough for those who watch the program. But I could make the same argument about Bo Baldwin. Bo Baldwin is another one who is still in there. And they're meeting today, from my understanding, with people, from people whose opinions I trust, there still is one more candidate. It's a candidate that, as much as I can tell, has Pac-12 ties, and that's as much as I've got. But the white smoke hasn't come out of the chimney, and by tonight, you know, I keep getting this, we're going to have a coach, we're going to get it figured out. By tonight, this is the end of the dead period. Today is the end of the dead period in recruiting. Tomorrow morning, all hell is going to break loose. Tomorrow morning, Central Florida is flying here to our great state to sit with Brock Purdy at Perry and to sit with Jamari Joyner from Cienega. So, and it's going to go from there. Brock Purdy's going to get on a plane tomorrow, and he's going to fly to Boise State. Jamari Joyner, the other quarterback who Arizona State is chasing, is going to get on a plane tomorrow, and I believe he's going to Baylor. And maybe that changes with Baylor's head coach now tied into the Indianapolis Colts job. So there's a lot of moving parts that are going on in college football. But for those that want Arizona to just hire a coach and get it over with, I'm all about going through the process. The timing of this is just odd. The timing of firing Rich Rod, where he was allowed the opportunity to hire a defensive line coach, to get a defensive line coach here 3 weeks ago. And so if the athletic department at U of A back in December is like, oh yeah, Rich, go fill that position, they go hire the guy, they bring him out here when they had the intention of firing him all along, that's weird. That just doesn't seem right. It seems to me that Jeff Stevens from Western Refinery, I've heard his name all over the place on this job. It is all about the big cigars. If you think it's just the athletic director and hiring somebody, this is the business side of sports. The business side of sports is what big cigar or big cigars. Artie Marino is now becoming a factor once again at the U of A, the Angels owner. Okay? Guys like Jim Click and Bob Baffert, there's a group of people. And it's no different than at Arizona State, where it's Steve Butterfield and Nap Lawrence. There's names that I could throw out at you at Arizona State. They're in the same boat. Lots of names. But it sure sounds like Jeff Stevens, who lives here in the Valley, and I hear is a great guy, and has done a lot for the U of A, is behind a lot on this. So is it Dave Hickey calling Jeff Stevens and saying, hey, look, we can get Kevin Sumlin, but we've got to move the decimal point down a couple spots. We need to get this figured out. And a guy who has Western Refinery behind him in the oil and gas business can go call a couple of guys and they can go stroke a check and it's done. It hasn't been done as of yet. And now you have names that surface like Mike Sanford, who's 35 years of age, completely different pay grade than where Kevin Sumlin is. Checks a lot of boxes. It would not do much of anything in the way of moving the needle initially, I don't believe, in the University of Arizona for their football program, initially. But you can't ignore his background. The same with Bo Baldwin. You can't ignore his background. Bo Baldwin, a little bit more familiarity with the West Coast. Sanford was the recruiting coordinator at Stanford. So you could make that same argument. He's with David Shaw. He's under David Shaw's coaching tree. Who would not want a David Shaw protege? Who would not? So this is the big story today, and then tonight it's going to shift into college basketball, and we'll get into that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. Goody at the Movies is coming up in about 30 minutes. I was talking to Bill earlier this morning, briefly, about some stuff, and he had to run because he had some big-time interview to do, so I just got totally blown off. We partnered with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. The sponsors you're about to see self-fund us. Without sponsorship, we don't do this. We've been doing it for 6 years. We appreciate those who support us. Back after this timeout. All right, so in about 10 minutes, really, we're going to talk about Kurt Warner and the opening at ESPN for Monday Night Football. And this is not something that I'm going to talk about loosely here. Kurt's contract has expired, so at NFL Network. So I'm going to get into that in about 10 minutes and try and give you an idea, and you may have your own, as to who the person to replace John Gruden should be and why Kurt Warner makes a ton of sense for me. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. And maybe some other destinations for him. tonight is a big night. It's been a slow sports week in terms of events. It has not been a slow sports week. We very seldom have slow sports days or weeks here in Arizona because there is always something going on. There's some really interesting news around the Waste Management Open that I've got to sit on in terms of some people that are coming out here that are going to play in the Pro-Am, and I've got to sit on it for a few days, and it's not fun, but I just have to because connecting dots off some of those people, they are athletes, present athletes, that are going to play in the Pro-Am, and how they're coming out here, why they're coming out here, what the teams out here may be looking at in them, and it's pretty interesting. It's really interesting to me, actually, on one of the names. But there's always something happening. And tonight, it is games. Okay, there are three basketball games tonight, three college basketball games tonight. One of them involves two teams that are not ranked. But if you understand the college basketball landscape, you would want to be at this game tonight. And I'd encourage you to go. If you've never been to see the Zoo at Grand Canyon University, go. Tonight, they're playing New Mexico State. New Mexico State is always the best team in the WAC. Almost always, they're the team that goes into March Madness. Almost always. And so Dan Marley's team has a litmus test, I think, for them tonight. You know, they've been on the road. Dan has taken them to places, and they've gotten their backsides beat. They've lost some games. They've been beat up a little bit. There's some that watch GCU that say, you know, Brad, I don't know if they're going to win the WAC tournament this year in Las Vegas in March, which, by the way, the show is going to be there. We're going to go see Dan and cover Dan. We'll be at the Orleans around GCU. They're our partner. We're going to be with them. So tonight's a litmus test. What happens at home against New Mexico State? Eric's going to be out there. Michael Rincon, who does great photo work for us, he's going to be out there too. Over in Tempe tonight. So Bobby Hurley's team, this for them is, they've got most of their schedule in front of them at home. They've already played three road games within the Pac-12 conference. And next week, they're up in the Bay Area. These are two games that if you really are all you're supposed to be and all that people have talked about, you should win. They have Oregon tonight. So for Bobby Hurley tonight, it's go out, take care of business, move through two teams that you are better than. You know, so show your fire, show your determination. There'll be a good crowd there, I'm sure. But get out and get after them and put Oregon away tonight. I would like to see Romello White and Daquan Lake actually do something consistently inside. For Arizona State to have any success at all, Bobby can yell at officials all day long, and he does. But if Romello White cannot hang on to a basketball and cannot stay out of foul trouble, they're going to lose. Okay, that is a key. That guy right there is one of the biggest keys on this team. You can talk all day long about the great backcourt, about all the great guards, all day long. But if Romello White and Daquan Lake and Scheibel can't do anything, they're going to lose. You cannot take 30-plus three-point shots every game and expect to win. It will not happen. And Oregon's just not that good. And the other game tonight is really interesting, too, because Sean Miller calls out his team after they lose at Colorado and says he can't get through to this group. Parker Jackson Cartwright has to defend himself. And if he should be on the floor, and U of A is playing Oregon State. Oregon State is not that good compared to Oregon, compared to Arizona. And so for Sean Miller tonight, it's get the ball inside of DeAndre Ayton. Just please, here's the play. The play is thumbs down. What does that mean? I want the ball down low to my big man every single stinking time. And for U of A tonight to be able to do that, that is what needs to happen in Tucson. So you have these three games tonight. They're all really interesting in certain ways, shapes, and forms. And I'll be watching all three. I will. Kurt Warner and his future on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. All right, one of the things earlier in the week that I wanted to talk about on the show, I just have not been able to get around to, is John Gruden leaving for the Raiders. From ESPN. And that all became official earlier this week. They had the big press conference, and it means that Monday Night Football is open. You guys know, as you watch this show through the years, or if you're just finding us, I do a lot of broadcast stuff. I teach advanced digital media and advanced media. Justin, was that an entertaining, informative class that you had that I taught?
I thought it was because it was a side of journalism that I'd never seen throughout the hands-on Cronkite videography and TV reporting, yada, yada, yada. But that was another side of it.
Yeah. So do you care about Monday Night Football analysts and play-by-play guys and contracts and who's next and all that stuff?
Honestly, I didn't. But when we would check the ratings and we would go on Sports Business Daily every day in that class, it kind of made me more aware of that sort of stuff. So I felt that as I began to understand it, I began to have a little bit more investment in that. Okay.
So what was the TV show that constantly beat everything on ESPN?
Oh, Gunsmoke.
Thank you.
Yep.
True. Every day that Gunsmoke airs, there's a... The ratings for Gunsmoke were better than PTI, were better than SportsCenter. And finally, somebody in class says, well, I'm going to go watch Gunsmoke. And they came back in and they actually journaled about it. Like, this show's terrible. No, it's a lot more. So understand it's a niche. There was a time on Monday Night Football, for those that remember the days of Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford and all that stuff, there was a time and a place where Monday Night Football was like the place you have to be. You have to be in front of your television set. You have to watch. It's part of America. John Lennon was shot. Howard Cosell told the world. All that stuff's true. But all these years later, if I'm in the business of broadcast, I consider walking away from carrying Monday Night Football now. If I'm the NFL, I consider, do we really need Monday Night Football anymore? If you look at the games that ESPN shows, they're usually the worst of the four primetime slots available. Three. So you have the Sunday night game, you have the Monday night game, you have the Thursday night game. And sometimes there's two games on Monday night, so on certain weeks. And then you have the Saturday weekends once you get to into the holiday season. But of the three main ones, the games that they are shown are typically not great games. Now, you don't know when you put the schedule together in March and April and it gets released. Everybody gets all excited and goes right down the list. Like today, it came out that the NFL is going to be in London. Those games will be shown early in the morning. They're not being shown in prime time on a Sunday night or on a Thursday night or even a Monday night. The Raiders are going to play the Seahawks over there. The Eagles are going to play Jacksonville. And the Titans are going to play the Chargers. Those three games, Seattle and the Raiders, seems to be the most interesting one to me. John Gruden walks away. I'd walk away for $100 million maybe from this. And so he goes, and now the Monday Night Football chair is open. And it leads to a broader discussion, not just on who is next. Because if you look at ESPN and the names of people that really get fans excited, I don't hear people talk much about Lewis Riddick, but I think Lewis Riddick is the best voice on the air at ESPN. They don't give him the most promotion. They gave Rex Ryan a ton of promotion, and Rex Ryan, as expected, was nothing. I had Kurt Warner on Monday's show, and right off the top, and I was talking to Kurt about his future. He brought up that his contract is expiring at the NFL Network. And he's in a great spot because Kurt has humbled himself. He's gone and done the reps. NBC brought him in through the NFL Network, and he did the Christmas night game over the holiday break and did a fine job. But I think would Kurt Warner in a Monday Night Football booth, because remember, Monday Night Football, you're trying to get people to cross over and check you out, not just the hardcore Joe Sixpack, I know every last bit of sports, I got my hat on backwards with my dudes and my buds. No, it's like Chris Collinsworth said, we're broadcasting to the 78-year-old grandmother. Maybe that's why the ratings for Monday Night Football have dropped. They've tried things in the past like Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser. Whether it worked out or didn't work out, it was a different time. Nowadays, I find I'm watching Monday Night Football on this little bad boy when I'm out at water polo with my son, or if I'm out on a bike ride or something, I can access this. When the NFL ends up eventually over on Amazon, because I'm at Amazon trying to find wrestling shoes for my son last night, and I'm buying a phone case, and who knows whatever else I'm buying, I believe that Amazon eventually, I don't mean this jokingly, eventually when the NFL contracts come up, Amazon is where people are going to go to watch football. And the NFL wants to be where the most mass is. It is no longer on ESPN on Monday nights. And with all the clamoring about the Thursday night games being so bad, I can't see the NFL, even though I believe the players deserve better than this. The players are the ones being chewed up and spit out. They're just crushing their workforce. The NFL's not going to walk away from all the money. So what will make people drive home, get to their cars, get to their houses and say, I've got to watch Monday Night Football because I have to hear what, let's say it's Kurt Warner. Does Kurt Warner move you enough? Is he going to say things interesting enough? Tony Romo has come in, whether you like Tony Romo, don't like Tony Romo. What I found on Tony Romo is if you're a Cowboy fan, you think it's great. If you're not a Cowboy fan, you don't think it's great. I don't care about the Cowboys, and I don't care about any team. I think Tony Romo's terrific. He says stuff off the cuff. He tells me what's going to happen in advance. It's a blank canvas, so there's going to be a play here or a play there where he misses. I don't mind that. He's not afraid to criticize. I don't mind that. We're in a day and age with broadcasters, especially guys that are broadcasting games. They're no longer paid to be journalists. They're just paid to be cheerleaders for the most part. If you're broadcasting for a team, very seldom will you hear an announcer say on the air, these guys blow. These guys aren't good. Why is it this guy is here on the roster? Why is this guy making all this money? They'll think it. If I'm in the lunchroom, dinner room, sitting with them, they'll say, this guy can't play dead. And then on the air, it's this guy's the greatest thing ever. It's so disingenuous. It is just so disingenuous. But that's what we've come to now. They're broadcasters and nothing more than paid shills for the most part. Fortunately, here in the Valley, we have someone like Dave Pasch, who, and I just think Dave is terrific. And we have someone like Al McCoy. We have people here in town that are not afraid to just say this is unacceptable, this isn't good, and not fear the ramification of somebody coming down the hall saying, hey, come on, man, you got to sell this. Well, the team stinks. This guy can't play. I don't need to hear guys saying, yes, oh, and call everybody by a nickname. And, oh, he's so great, and he's this, and he's not doing anything. So on Monday night, you've got to walk that line. You've got to cross that entertainment line. Is there someone out there that would make sense to bring in and stick in the booth who crosses over from football to entertainment, entertainment to football? It's no different than Don Meredith way back in the day singing goodnight, the party's over. It's no different than Dennis Miller. It's no different than Tony Kornheiser. They've tried and tried and tried. I think Kurt's one name. Romo's not going to break his contract with CBS. Can't see that happening. And then there's the whole idea of, you know, Kurt's at the NFL Network where they have great freedom and flexibility. Give me another name that's better. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning in broadcast booth, that would equate to ratings. Does Peyton Manning want to get on a plane on Friday morning, go sit over at the Cardinals facility with Mark Dalton and the PR guys, have a coach come in, sit and chat and shoot the breeze, go to a practice on Saturday? Does he want to go through all of that stuff where every weekend for 16, 18 weeks, he's there day and night, doesn't need the money, to go through all that, to sit there and have a game that Monday night could be a dog and Tuesday get home and have Wednesday, Thursday off and then go do it all over again? Sounds really glamorous. You're sitting there in your cubicle right now saying, come on, Brad, you're talking bad about this stuff. I'm not talking bad. I'm talking real about it. And that leads to the pregame shows. Kurt's involved very much over on the pregame shows with the NFL Network. He's able to do some things where he's able to stretch. He's able to stretch himself. And he's done Westwood One on the radio, so he's done reps. If you're doing Monday Night Football, they're going to want you on radio in the morning. They're going to want you to go do the feature. They're going to demand a lot of time from Kurt Warner, who still has kids in his house. But I don't come up with many bigger names than Kurt Warner for that job. I had somebody send me a note about Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer seemed fine and nice. I can't imagine Carson Palmer saying about a quarterback, he's not good. That's an unacceptable throw. What's he thinking? Where's he throwing? I can't imagine that. I think Matt Leinart's done a pretty darn good job over on Fox in the college space. Does he want to go into the NFL run? Matt Leinart on camera, a lot of Q rating points. Females would love to watch Matt Leinart. Very attractive guy. Same deal with Kurt. Same deal with Carson. Got that. Don't know if Matt would take some shots. His NFL career didn't lend itself to being somebody that could take some shots at guys. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen. But that job is open now, and that's a job that all of you are going to be interested in. Who is going to be the next Monday Night Football guy? It's no different than Alex Rodriguez being flirted with right now with ESPN. Alex Rodriguez has done a terrific job in broadcast over at Fox. And he's grown, and now ESPN is trying to steal him away to go be part of their Sunday Night Baseball package. Huge dollars at stake. I find Alex Rodriguez really compelling. I like when he's on the air. I can't really say that about too many analysts. I'm going to learn something. I'm not going to get the same old nonsense. I'm not going to get the watered down stuff. Right, Good Eat the Movies is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Bill Goody Kuntz on the other side. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, at least for now, unless this U of A job pops. Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. Before we get to Liam Neeson and another taken ripoff, potentially, from my view, I don't know this, but we're talking about the Monday Night Football job now that John Gruden is gone, and I brought Kurt Warner's name into the discussion. He was with me earlier this week, and he is a free agent. His contract is expiring at the NFL Network. Would he do anything for you, one, and two, is Monday Night Football still a really attractive place to be for a broadcaster?
Sure it is. I mean, how can it not be? It's still the only game on that night. I mean, anybody that likes football, if the audience isn't what it once was, and the games have been just dogs for the last couple of seasons, but it's still, you know, it's a fairly captive audience. And, you know, would you rather do that, or would you rather do, you know, like the Ravens and the Bengals, you know, on, you know, being the fourth game on Sunday? I think it's a good job, and I think he'd be good at it. I like him. I think he's obviously knows his stuff. And one of the things that's important for a gig like that is people know who he is. There are any number of probably people who are better than he is, but they don't have his name recognition. And I think you need that.
The only name I could think of is Peyton Manning, outside of Kurt, that would have the name recognition part.
Right, and he evidently doesn't want to do it. So it is a grind. From my perspective, bring back Tony Kornheiser. He's my hero. So, but that's not going to happen. And if you can't get to Kornheiser, I'm like a sort of a cut rate version of him. I used to write a Smart Aleck sports column and a Smart Aleck features column, but
now you write a Smart Aleck movies column. Now you do Smart Aleck movies.
Exactly.
That's fine.
No, but I think it's a good job, don't you?
No.
It's not maybe what it once was, but absolutely.
No. Come on. This is I shouldn't say it's a terrible job. It's just your weekends are tied up. Now, Kurt's already been doing Westwood One Monday Night Football, so he's
right.
Already used to it. But he's only doing half the games. Boomer does the other half when they're on the East Coast for the most part. Okay, so with Kurt having his kids, he's got to fly in. You know the drill on this. You fly in on a Friday or Saturday. You're going to be tied up Saturday, Sunday at practices and meetings. Monday, you're beholden to the game. Tuesday, you get home Tuesday afternoon, and then you have to do it all over again. And they don't get the first pick of the games. They don't. Sunday Night Football gets first pick. Thursday Night Football gets second pick. Monday Night Football gets third pick. So when you're doing the Titans and Jaguars in October, I mean, really? This is where I'm at. You know,
I feel like every payday you probably feel better about that.
that's true. All right. Let's get into this. So the commuter, it just looks like I'm not big on the whole Taken series by Liam Neeson myself, because I kind of know how it ends. It's just, how do we get there? Is this movie any good?
It is. But it is very much that. It's the fourth time he's worked with the director. It's always been variations on the same thing. It's like he's this older guy that ends up kicking everybody's butt, and he has to somehow defend his family in some way, shape, or form. But this one actually has a couple of twists, and he's aging in this. He keeps saying he's 60 in the movie. In real life, he's 65, so that was probably satisfying.
Wow.
But he is a little older, and he gets beat up a lot in this one. He doesn't just there's in one scene they bang his head on the somebody. He's in a fight with some guy, and they're on a train the whole time, right? A commuter train, and he bangs his head against the metal poles, and I just, everybody in the theater just instinctively like put their hand up to their head. It was just, it made the worst sound. And but yeah, as I said, I mean, it's pretty stupid, but there are some twists, and they try a little harder than they do in some of them.
It's pretty stupid. I like that.
It is. I mean, what else are you going to say? It's not trying to be anything other than that. But there's some good actors. And Vera Farmiga's in it. She's not in it enough. Mostly she's a voice who she's sort of the bad guy. And she calls around and says, yeah, he meets her face to face. But then she goes off and she's like on the phone all the time. And she's saying things like, you know, we can do anything to anyone anytime and things like that. But and evidently, by the way, it seems as if they can. They prove that a little bit with some people that he's close to. But, if you like those kind of things, it's probably a step up from, like, Taken 2 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you don't like them, I mean, yeah, then you know what you're getting. I mean, same old thing.
All right. Let's move off from that one then and go over to Phantom Thread. You talked to the director on this one. Phantom Thread, was this any good?
Oh, it's great. It's Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed There Will Be Blood and Magnolia and any number of great films. And it is supposedly the last acting job ever for Daniel Day-Lewis, who is, by anybody's lights, if not the greatest actor of all time, certainly the greatest contemporary actor. I remember when he won for There Will Be Blood the same year, George Clooney was nominated for Michael Clayton. And somebody asked him about that, and he said, I think I was plenty good, but I'm not going to win. He said, Daniel Day-Lewis is going to win. He said, this is like playing in the NBA when Jordan was great. He said, if he's nobody's better than him, and he's going to win. I mean, that's just the way it is. I thought that was a pretty good analogy. But it's a weird movie. He's nuttily prepared for these things. And he hasn't done anything since Lincoln, I don't think. But he plays a dressmaker in the 1950s who kind of disposes of muses and stuff. And then he meets this one woman who's a waitress and she will not be so disposed of so easily. And it sounds sort of weird, and it is kind of weird, but it's really good. And it's really engrossing because things get really strange and she's a lot tougher than he bargains for. And of course, since he's Daniel Day-Lewis, he studied with dressmakers, and he actually made a real dress that his wife, the director Rebecca Miller, wore to some function or something.
Huh.
Because if you can't obsessively like prepare for a role, then what are you going to do, I guess?
No, that's good. That's good. All right, so that one is a must-see. Let's finish with Film Stars Don't Lie in Liverpool, or is it Don't Die? I'm reading Eric's notes here.
Don't Die, Don't Die.
Don't Die, all right.
And they don't. But the in this, they... it's good. Annette Bening plays a real-life woman named Gloria Graham, who was an Oscar winner in the 50s. But when color became the norm and they kind of got out of film, she was really into film noir. And she's actually in It's a Wonderful Life. She's the sort of town floozy that he saved from a life of, corruption or whatever. But she didn't, she's got smaller parts and stuff. And her career kind of, it didn't die, but it just sort of fizzled a little bit. And she ends up in this romance with this much younger guy who, the last couple years of her life, who, of course, wrote a book about it. And and the book, this is based on the book. And the reason to see this movie is because she is flat out great. And there was a lot of buzz for this at the beginning when it came out. But now she's sort of fallen off the Oscar radar and stuff. And I think that's a shame because she is just fantastic. The guy that plays her... Her younger lover is also quite good, but she's just great.
I've always liked Annette Bening. I mean, The American President was...
Oh, then you'll love this.
Yeah, American President was one of those movies where I would stop and just... Because it's on. You know, it's like Shawshank or there's just a few that if it's on, I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch it. And that's not her best stuff, but American Beauty was really good too, I thought. So this is worth seeing.
But again, only for her.
All right.
You can definitely wait on it if you want to like stream it or something, but if you like her, I would say it's worth going to see.
Okay, so last week after you and I spoke, and I missed the screening of the post, I took my wife, went to Camel View. We end up, first of all, every showing was sold out except the very front row, but we went, and it was packed.
That's good, though.
Oh my gosh! And I'm sitting there about halfway through, and my body starts shaking on some of these parts because. of if this doesn't happen, and I know it's just a movie, but this was historically fact, unless you looked at this and said, this wasn't true, this wasn't true, this wasn't true. By the end of it, I was shedding some tears by the end of it because of some things that had happened in that movie. It was that good.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you had the experience. I've heard anecdotally that people cheer in some of them. I felt like I was going to cheer a couple times. I think I can't say it was the best movie of the year or anything like that, but I cannot think of any movie in several years, probably back since Spotlight, but even this one even more so, that people ought to see.
No, I agree.
Because
I do agree.
They don't. When people do all this stuff and they say fake news and they say, oh, I can't believe the Washington Post, I can't believe the New York Times, I'll choose to believe Trump, they're alternate facts. They don't really get it. They don't understand how dangerous that is. And they don't understand how important a free press is. And I think that if something like this movie can do a much better job of explaining that to people than you or I or, you know, Wolf Blitzer or somebody could, just sort of, you know, going on about it.
Well, here's the thing on it. The film is packed. Every seat was taken by the time it started. I'm walking out with my wife. We were the youngest people in there. now
my in-laws were in town and they said the same. They're older than you are. And they said they said the same thing, that everybody, they said it was packed, but everybody was old.
Yeah. And there was some cheering in there, and it was the discussions walking out of it. You hear people having discussions about it, and they were very smart and very forward thinking discussions, and they weren't all on the same page with their politics. And but it was really good. I just wanted to let you know that.
I'm great. I'm glad you liked it. I really hope people get out and see that.
Yeah.
Sounds like they are.
You need to make time. We need to speak sometime, okay? Just make time in your schedule.
I've just been swamped lately.
If Annette Bening calls, I'll you, tell it. Her I've got to talk to Brad. So I'll be in touch.
Annette, let me get back to you.
Yeah, see you later.
Okay.
There's Goody at the Movies. So the coaching search, there's still not white smoke coming out of Tucson yet. They haven't made the royal announcement. Anything new, Justin? Have you seen anything while I was talking to Bill?
I have not seen anything, no.
Nothing new.
No white smoke.
All right. You didn't screw up today. Congratulations again on the job.
Wow, thank you.
You're not going to leave us, are you? Is this the goodbye show? Or?
No, this is not the swan song.
Yeah. Are you going to leave us ever? Do I have to go thumb wrestle these people for your services? Or?
I hope not, no.
All right. Okay. Get on back here. It's a good break for you, honestly. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Steve Burney is a great contributor to what we do here day in and day out. I don't mention Steve's name maybe once before, but he is terrific in what he does to assist us. Perry Cohen is our intern today, and of course, Justin Toscano. Eric is out on a story somewhere. Jordan's stealing money from us somewhere. Haley's doing the same. I don't know what they're doing, but you can see all their work. And it's great work, in all honesty, over on our website, sports360az.com. Enjoy your day.